Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams 4th of July sale and get 30% off paints and stains June 26th through July 6th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only, some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
Fourth and final hour, Darren, Donick, and Chase here on this Monday afternoon. Hope everybody has had a good day or a great day to this point. Is the weather a little cold, a little gray here today in Middle Tennessee? A guy we've enjoyed talking to over the years, Tyler Kepner, is on the line with us from New York Times. Tyler, how you doing?
I'm doing all right here on this rainy day, stuck inside. How are you guys hanging in there?
That sounded like yesterday here in our city. It rained and it was nasty all day long. So we all were probably mush brains yesterday, on Sunday. So we're trying to stimulate things here today, trying to get things going again a little
bit. Well, it's just trying to distinguish one day from the next is not so easy these days. But, we're all healthy and good. So that's all you can ask for.
We got a lot of layers, no doubt about it. We got a lot of layers to get through with you. Let's just start with something we discussed a lot last week, and we had the likes of Mookie Betts on our show and David Price and R.A. Dickey, and we had some really good conversations with them, and Tony Kemp is another guy. And let's start with the kind of the model that got out there, using the vast Phoenix area, which we'll just say in like a 45-minute or 60-mile radius, let's say, all the spring training sites in Phoenix, maybe using that as kind of their, I call it the Olympic Village or small compound to conduct their season. What do you think of that model? Let's start there.
Well, I think they need to think creatively about this stuff. You know, they need to try to come up with possibilities for any time they might restart. You know, like if they get the word that hey, you can get started this time, then they need to have a action plan in place. But that said, I mean, you know, this is a creative plan, but I don't think it sounds realistic to me. I mean, to keep all the players quarantined for that long a time period, you know, self-isolating. That's one thing. I mean, it's not easy for them for sure. They're not robots. But what about all the other people it takes to put on a game? You know, they would have to be really, really careful that they're complying with, you know, the safety rules, because as much as they want to be first, they've also got to be safe, or else this whole thing could backfire in a big, big way.
So viability, you give it what? I'm assuming from that answer, less than 50%?
Yeah. I would think that's unlikely to happen. You've heard about the plan to do it some in Arizona, half in Arizona, half in Florida.
Florida.
I mean, maybe that makes a little more sense. You've got more facilities to play with. But, you know, the heat in Arizona is another big issue. I know that they're worried about that. So it's just, there's so many logistical issues they'd have to get through. I mean, I guess I wouldn't rule it out, but just because no one knows what we're heading into here. I think it'd be awful if there's no season, so that you've got to at least try to think of ways to salvage something. But boy, putting the whole league in spring training with no fans and everybody away from human contact, not just the players, but all the staff people and everybody else it takes to put on a game. That's it's hard to envision that.
Yeah, no doubt about it. The lady who has been cutting my hair for a long, long time is from Taiwan, and she's the one who first tipped me off about what she goes over there every year, and she went over in January. So she's been keeping me kind of abreast what's been going on over there, and she texted me over the weekend and said, hey, the Taiwan-based league, I think it's the Chinese Professional Baseball League, they were actually supposed to start on Saturday, but they got rained out. She said that they did start their season yesterday. And so, obviously, a lot of people will keep close tabs on where that's going. And I know you've written an article, too. So how much can we and should we pay close attention to what they're doing over there to maybe help with what we started off this interview talking about?
Yeah, I think it's definitely worthwhile to keep an eye on. I talked to, I guess, last weekend, and the story ran last week, a few players from the Korean League, and at the time they were quarantined or self-isolating, I guess, because they had visited their families in the States before going home before going back to South Korea. And so they were just talking about how strange it was to be all alone over there and self-quarantining for a couple of weeks and watching some of their teammates play exhibition games or play scrimmages with masks on. They weren't really keen on that idea, but I guess they would do it if they have to play ball with masks on. And no fans in the stands. It's going to be a big deal over there because they love the atmosphere over there in Korea. They talk about how just crazy passionate the fans are all game long. Doesn't matter what the score is, they're singing and they're hollering and making noise. So without the fans, it would be a big shift in what you're used to seeing over there, but there is a ton of talent over there. And, just if we need something to satisfy our competitive fix, and you're not big on the NBA players playing horse or people playing video games against each other, maybe the leagues over there is a good place to turn, not just for entertainment, but to see what kind of model baseball might be able to use too. But again, it all has to do with the stuff that's out of their control, how well the virus is contained and how safe it is to get together again.
Talking to Tyler Kepner from the New York Times, Major League Baseball writer, and we're talking about how Major League Baseball is eyeing what's going on over in South Korea, who is trying to get their league going again. And one of the things that dawns on me, Tyler, as I read your article, is you've got South Korea, who has been, applauded around the world for jumping out, doing a pretty good job getting ahead of the curve or as best they can with the testing procedures that have maybe given them a little more confidence to move forward here. So maybe explain what the Major League Baseball people can learn from that. How much further does testing have to come here in the States to really get to where they are?
Well, that's an important point. And they talked about that, because the testing, they're able to have to test so much quicker over there. Whereas if you do it here, how often would you need to test these guys? I mean, you might have to test them, you'd have to test all of them. I think at least once and have some sort of regular schedule. I was talking to Scott Boris, the agent, about the idea, and he was talking about testing guys every day and how soon enough that'll be available to us. But it's not yet. We're not yet at the point, as far as I know, that everybody can get a test whenever they want. So there's that. There's the idea of just needing putting these people in close proximity, and then if one person gets it, do you have to shut down the league? That's another thing that seems unworkable to me is this idea. It's having the players sit in the stands, so there's social distancing. But what about when you get on the field? Like, what about when the guy gets on first base and I got to hold him on, or where the catcher sitting right behind the hitter, does he wear a mask over his mouth and nose? There's even though baseball players do tend to stand 6 feet apart, there are inevitable interactions within that. So it's just it's going to be really strange. You know, obviously we're getting, you know, way ahead of ourselves, but they do have to think of possibilities, like I said, to enact whatever plan they have when the time comes.
Is the South Korean League planning on anything like that, or are they to a point where they feel like, okay, the risk is low enough, we're just going to play baseball, and I know there's going to be slides and interaction, as you said, and as long as there's no setbacks, they're going to just play the games?
Yeah, I had not heard of any of that stuff. Just like you were saying, I think they're just going to play the games and you know, maybe have players wear masks while doing so. But I didn't hear of any additional things like sitting in the stands or anything.
Tyler Koeppner is with us from the New York Times. He's also written a book, as we told you in the last hour, A History of Baseball in 10 Pitches. The book is called K, just the letter K. And if you look at the cover, and you are my age or Darren's age, you'll hearken back all the great baseball cards that we grew up watching. So, Tyler, I'm in the middle of it right now. I've enjoyed all of the great storytelling that goes with this. But basically, explain the premise of the book and how you came up with the idea.
Yeah, it was just a way to kind of look at the whole history of pitching through the pitches themselves. You know, kind of make the slider a character, and the knuckleball a character, and the split finger fastball a character, because each of those pitches sort of has a different history and a different kind of mentality to throw them. And I wanted to trace sort of the lineage of each pitch back from the beginning and sort of down through the current days, you know, whether it's still a hot pitch or whether it's basically gone out, like the screwball or the, you know, the splitter has gone down from where it was in the '80s. But I really wanted to trace the origins and folklore behind these pitches and talk to, you know, the masters, you know, talk to guys who threw these pitches better than anyone and find out where they picked it up and how they passed it on. You know, guys like Steve Carlton and Bob Gibson and Nolan Ryan and Greg Maddux. And, you know, I was lucky enough to get in touch with, I talked to, I think, 22 Hall of Fame pitchers and a bunch of other hitters and just hundreds of players overall to get inside their heads about, you know, how basically, because every pitch is a decision, right? Every pitch is, you know, you got to know what you're throwing and where and why. And then beyond that, you know, how did you get that pitch? So there's so much, you know, fertile ground to go over with these guys. And guys love talking about it. I mean, guys were really, you know, having fun, I think, talking about their craft and how they learned their, you know, the pitches that made them great.
Tyler, based on this conversation that we've been having and something that we've talked about on this show before, is when this is all over with and things return to normal, number one, what exactly is normal going to be? I mean, we assume that at some point fans are going to be back, but I think it'll probably take a vaccine. But do you think that we go back to a normal for the media that includes going inside the clubhouse or going inside locker rooms, you know, to do our jobs? Or do you think that this changes everything for good?
Well, obviously, I sure hope so. That's how we you know, bring these stories to people, and we've always had a really good you know, relationship with the players, and you know, it's been a pretty good workable setup. But I, you know, I just don't know. I mean, it's really impossible to tell what's going to be permissible in society going forward. I mean, I would think, you know, that. I mean, I really don't know anything medically. I was going to say, like, yeah, I would think going forward, if this the virus, you know, passes through, or we're ways, you know, peters out or whatever, that we could go back to, you know, regular human interactions. And I think if we're having regular human interactions, going to the movies and going to sporting events and church and everything else, that, you know, we can still talk to people the way we used to talk to them. You know, I don't see why that would change, unless there's another big, you know, tragic pandemic like this.
Well, and I think
it's in the league's interest. It's in the league's interest to have, you know, to have as much coverage as possible, and to have their players be as accessible as possible. So they, you know, the league always wants to try to, you know, help us do our jobs, you know, because the more publicity they get and the more accessible their players are, the better it is for the league. You know, the players might have a different view of that, but they've, you know, to this point, they've always, you know, been cool with us being there, you know, for limited periods before and after games.
Yeah, I guess the only reason I worry about it, and I don't mean to be insensitive when I use the word paranoia, but, you know, I think it's going to change our way of thinking, change society's way of thinking, and, you know, the leagues and the players, you know, might look at it as a way to do that and to adapt to that, and it could become, you know, I know with hockey, they were bringing players out to a podium, and that was something that, you know, Darren and I didn't have to experience, but our jobs are, we're in the locker room all the time with the Nashville Predators and getting one-on-one interviews, but, you know, they were on the road when all this started, but that would obviously change how we do things. But I'm just curious if there's going to be a heightened sense of awareness that, all right, we got through this, but it could happen again. Let's do our best to prevent it.
Yeah. I mean, I can see where you're coming from, you know, because whenever they get back, you know, they're going to want to, probably, you know, protect the players as much as possible from, you know, from contracting anything, and you know, I guess that could conceivably be part of it. I don't know if, you know, if you then tell the players not to go out to eat ever again in public, or not to go to any concerts on their free time, or you know, whatever. I just don't know where we're headed with all this. You know, I really don't. I mean, you know, take us out of it. You know, what about the fans, you know, who want to get autographs and stuff, you know, crowd around the players in spring training, trying to get them to sign balls and cards and everything. I mean, is that sanitary? Is that going to be discouraged? I just don't know where we're all headed with this. Obviously, like everyone, I guess I just hope we can get back as close to normal, but what's the new normal going to be? That's the big question.
Yep. Let's end with this quickly then, Tyler. If I were to set the over under at 80 and a half games, so 80.5 as this year's regular season for Major League Baseball, would you bet the over or the under?
Ooh, great question. Because I think I'm kind of thinking right around there. Because you got to remember, you're going to have October to play with if they come back. I mean, they'll push everything back a month at least. So, you know, whatever you think of as October now, push that back to November. So if you can get games in October, September, August, maybe part of July, you know, then I guess I would take the over. They have every incentive to get in as many games as possible financially and just for the integrity of the season. I think they're open to stuff like seven-inning doubleheaders, you know, creative scheduling, stuff like that. So I think they'll try to get in as many games. So I'd take the over, not by much. I think it'll be under 100.
Okay.
But what do I know?
Yeah. Well, that's the fun of this exercise, right? None of us know. But I was just curious what your answer would be. So you would take a slight over on that. Well, I hope you're right, for sure.
I'm trying to be optimistic. I mean, I hate to say zero.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe that's the logical thing is just to say zero, but because we don't know, and it feels like there's a lot of ground we got to make up here to get back to where we're comfortable doing this stuff again. But I figured I'd be optimistic until I'm told otherwise. Why not? You know,
no doubt.
I'd rather try to live life that way.
Good approach, Tyler. Thanks for your time. We really appreciate you doing this. Good to hear from you, and we'll talk to you down the road.
All right, fellas. Thanks for having me on.
All right, that is Tyler Kepner from the New York Times. I'm going to ask Willie and Chase that very same question on the other side. The over and under is 80 and a half games for this upcoming Major League Baseball season. Would you take the over or the under? If you had to bet a paycheck on it, which way would you lean? We'll do that on the other side. ESPN 102.5, The Game. A lot of you are working from home during COVID-19, the pandemic that we're dealing with. You can stream us from anywhere. Download the Game Nashville app, or you can enable Alexa Skill or Google Home and ask it to play 102.5 The Game, or live stream from your website, which is thegamenashville.com is how you do that. Back here on Darren, Donick, and Chase, show 18? Is that right? Show 18?
Sounds right.
Yeah, I think show 18. From our homes, we are practicing social distancing. We've been doing that for a while, and so is sports. Sports has been practicing social distancing. We basically have none, other than wrestling. That's the only thing that has still been taking place. UFC was supposed to have 249 this Saturday in Northern California. That has been postponed, so that is not going to happen. So good interview there with Tyler Koepner from the New York Times. And I posed to him at the end, this upcoming baseball season, would you bet the over under if I set it at 80 and a half games? If you had to bet a paycheck, which are critical during these times, you better make the right choice. Where are you leaning? Willie, I'll start with you. Over or under?
Well, can I ask this real quick? When's the start date?
You have to figure that in, right? You have to
matter.
Predict that in your mind.
Right.
Okay. I'm going to stick with
have a start date on this? Because that would factor in. I mean, that's up to you.
That right there answers the question, because if it's May, like they had thrown out there,
there's no way. Well, you can predict May if you want to.
Take the over and predict May. I mean, that's part of your answer.
Yeah. See, I think more realistically, I'm thinking July 1st would be the first realistic date to where the players could be in shape. You could have the advancements in data that we lack right now, and have a couple of months, in theory, of the South Korean League and maybe some other leagues in Asia who have maybe gone through what we're going through now. See what they did, learn from what goes on over there, and let's just knock on wood that they're able to sustain and play in some form, because that's the thing we don't know. They could start in a couple of weeks and then have to shut it down because some guys get sick. We don't know that. But as Tyler said, I'm going to stay optimistic, and I'll go barely over. I think if you started around July 1st, July 4th, something like that, you could probably get about 100 games in if you did some of these seven-inning doubleheaders.
Okay, so you bet a paycheck on the over.
I didn't say I was going to actually bet.
No, I said you have to. That's part of it. Yeah, that's part of the question. It's why you better make sure you're making the right bet. You're going to bet a paycheck on it. Better get it right.
Anybody who would actually be betting about this would not be very smart.
Well, I have forced you to.
Right. So in
it wasn't your choice.
I'm answering your question. Yes.
It wasn't your choice. I made you do it.
Okay, you've made me do it. I've given my
Someone
answer.
Would call this bullying. I understand. Okay, it's just for purposes of this radio show. So you're going over.
Over.
Okay, Chase.
So I'll add this note, because you started this conversation by saying that the only thing that's been going on has been wrestling, and that includes All Elite Wrestling and, of course, the WWE. WWE. It came out this weekend that an employee that hasn't been identified, but has been identified as an on-screen talent that is not a wrestler, did test positive for COVID-19, and they are going to resume doing live shows from the Performance Center. So it hasn't stopped anything. They did tape shows through WrestleMania, but they're going to be live tonight on USA Network. So I think that that's important to note, that somebody within the company that's an on-screen talent has tested positive, according to reports. To answer your question, I'm going to say slightly under, because I think it's going to be – I think July is more optimistic, and I know they would probably like to get at least 100 games in. I don't see it, so I'm going to take slightly under.
What do you think the backlash is going to be, or what has been the backlash that wrestling has announced this, and yet they're still saying, yeah, but we're still – going to our regularly scheduled programming?
I think it's a very good question, because I know when I read that, I'm like, oh, they're done. And then the next thing I read is, wait, they're going back to live shows? Like they're gonna do this live, albeit from a empty performance center with essential personnel and yada, 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 what they've been throwing out there. But when you see on-screen talent, and then they say not a member of the WWE roster, there's only a handful of people that could be. You know, is that Michael Cole, the lead announcer? Is that, you know, somebody backstage, Charlie Caruso doing interviews, who's also an employee of ESPN, by the way? I mean, there are only a handful of people that have been on-screen talent that have been there. And, you know, Jerry Lawler is a part of the on-screen talent. He was not a part of WrestleMania. So then, you know, my thought goes, okay, is it him? You know, was he the one? So it's a little concerning to me, or it's a lot concerning to me, that, you know, somebody has apparently tested positive. They say, quote, "We believe this matter is low risk to WWE talent and staff, as the individual and a roommate became symptomatic in the days following exposure to two people working in acute health care on the evening of March 26 after WWE's TV production on a closed set was already complete." Okay, well, they still were around. So, you know,
How can they honestly know? That's the whole point that we've talked about. Like, you can't. There's no way of you knowing. There's no way, unless you're trying to justify something and throw stuff out there. Well, it couldn't have been on our watch. It had to have been, right? I mean, there's no way that they know.
You can't know that.
No, they don't. And this could spiral out of control if they get everybody together and then all of a sudden it spreads and, you know, who knows what happens. I mean, I use an example, and like I said, Jerry Lawler wasn't a part of the WrestleMania stuff, but I mean, he's older. He's in that group that's susceptible to this, and so you worry about that. Vince McMahon himself is in his 70s, and so it's just these things.
Well, ESPN shut down the UFC. Where are the networks to shut down wrestling? Why aren't they telling him, we're not doing this?
Well, and that would be USA, which is NBC Universal and Fox. Those are the two partners that, and also, I mean, ESPN's a part of it. ESPN is airing a lot of their programming, doing, you know, best ofs, and they've gotten in on the streaming with the pay-per-views and stuff like that. So ESPN can be in this conversation as well. I think that's a good question, Darren. I don't know why they haven't. I don't know if they're just so desperate for programming that they want it, or
everybody's desperate for programming. You don't think ESPN was desperate for programming this weekend? I mean, that cannot
Fox
be.
They're showing a horse tournament, which I watched it, but it was awful. Like it was terrible. And I sat there and I watched it, and I thought to myself, "This is awful. Why am I watching this?" Oh yeah, because I don't have anything else to watch.
Right. I mean, that cannot be your reasoning. Of course,
I'm watching
everybody,
online racing.
Everybody understands that they're desperate for programming. Well, duh. It's like players going, "Hey, we're desperate to get our checks." Well, duh. No, you don't think everybody knows that? Oh, you want to get paid? Yeah, you and millions of people in this country. I mean, of course, that goes without saying. But that doesn't mean you get to operate a certain way just because. I mean, well, we need the programming. Well, yeah, you don't think all the other networks need programming? That can't be your reason. I'm just curious, like, how has Vince McMahon been able to escape everybody else getting shut down?
Well, I want to be careful how I word this, but I'm just going to state known facts. Number one, Vince McMahon has been like Dana White. He's always been, "I'm going to do
course.
It my way."
And that's how they've become rich and successful.
I'm also going to point out something that is well known. He is extremely good friends with President Donald Trump. Now, I'm not trying to read anything into that. I'm not saying you should read anything into that. I'm just stating a fact that is well known. So I don't have a good answer to your question of why he's been able to escape it, why the TV networks haven't pushed back, why others haven't pushed back. But to talk out of both sides of my mouth, just in the broad spectrum of this conversation, I do think at some point it's going to take somebody the caliber of Vince McMahon with the insert whatever adjective you want to use, the fortitude, to say, okay, this is what we're going to do to come back. Now, he should do that, or the league or whatever should do that, when they're getting the okay from medical professionals and the CDC and those that know much more than they do. I don't think they need to push this beyond that point, because then you could just make it worse. But I think that I look at it from both standpoints of, I think that's what it's going to take. It's going to take that sort of aggression, or, you know, like I said, fortitude to get back in there and get this going again. And that's why we've been having these discussions about all these ideas that are being thrown out there.
Okay.
Let me just add one thing without knowing a whole lot about this, but I do wonder, since they had the one event, right, that they move through with and they got on there, it was on, and it tended to get pretty good feedback, right? It didn't get blasted by everybody, even non-followers of wrestling. That has to have given him some credibility to push forward with this, true?
Of course it has. Because he can say, well, hey, it went off without a hitch, but here's now.
But
here's
it didn't. It didn't go off because here we just what we're talking about. It didn't. So
because somebody tested positive. That's,
yes,
yeah, that's where I was going. And this, so this is this article I'm reading. This is in the New York Post. The employee, according to Pro Wrestling Sheet, went out to dinner with friends after WWE finished its tapings, including WrestleMania 36. And quarantined immediately after being tested. Well, right there, I mean, they went out to dinner. I mean, that's not what
right.
We're
and remember,
to be
this
doing
this
right.
was in Florida, correct?
Yep.
This was in
yep.
Florida,
in Orlando,
a state that had very lax rules on what you could do. I guess they did not do nearly
they
as much
did.
Shutdown.
They did it at some point during all of these tapings. I mean, they did issue an order similar to what everybody else has done.
Yeah, they were one of the later states to do it, though.
Right.
So I don't. So what
Florida
was
Florida and Arizona
they
have honestly been the two states that have been the late to the party, right?
Yeah, and that's
among
the problem.
Them, yes,
I mean the problem in all of this has been late to the party. That seems to be the theme, that we're in some of this mess because it, you know, somebody somewhere was late to the party in issuing some of this, but you. You know, you can't fix the past. Now you have to worry about fixing the future. So I think everything you're bringing up, Willie, is on point.
I guess I'm just wondering is when does wrestling and Vince McMahon become the Columbus Blue Jackets? I mean, think of all the examples of, no, we're going to do this. You know, I bring up the Blue Jackets because they had home dates on that Thursday and Saturday. Thursday night against the Penguins, Saturday against the Predators at Nationwide Arena. And they're like, yeah, we're going to play in front of our fans. And that's that. We've heard, right, we have all these examples of, no, we're going to do, you know, NASCAR, PJ, everybody, no, we're going to do this. And then they all come around to,
right.
Yeah, no, we're not. So when's yeah, no, we're not coming with wrestling, or is it?
Well, I don't know, and I've brought up the other wrestling company, All Elite Wrestling, and you guys, we've talked about this before, but do you know who the principal owner of that company is? It's a name you know, Shad Khan. His son Tony runs it. So there's another businessman, and say what you want about his ownership in the NFL with the Jags, but these are two, I'll use this word, stubborn individuals that, you know, are billionaires for a reason. Because of that stubbornness, but I wonder that myself of when somebody's going to step in and say, guys, shut it down. You have to, I mean, TNT is who airs AEW, so that's Turner Broadcasting. You know, eventually are the networks going to get
pressure? That's what I'm getting at. Because there was no way Dana White was going to shut anything down until ESPN shut him down. That's
right.
He has to, just like Vince McMahon, they can do all they want. They can strong arm. They can do things that they've done their whole life in the professional world, and it's worked in their favor. But you need the television networks to be on the same page. If they say no, you don't have anything. So
well,
ESPN
and that's
said
not necessarily
no.
True with Vince, because they do have the WWE Network. Now, I don't know what the contracts with USA and Fox say about the Raw and SmackDown shows that air on television. But they could shut him down, and Vince could say, okay, I'm just going to put all my content on the network. He could.
Okay, what is that? Is that like the Longhorn Network?
No, it's their streaming service that you pay $9.99 a month, and you get all the pay-per-views. That's what WrestleMania was on. Now, Fox and ESPN have bought streaming rights that it's kind of a weird business plan, because you could pay $39.99 to watch it on ESPN or Fox, or you could pay $9.99 a month and watch it on the WWE Network.
Has anybody ever released their numbers?
The WWE Network numbers?
Yep.
Yes.
Like how many people subscribe to that?
I don't have that in front of me. I'll pull it up. But yes, I have those numbers have been out there.
And the reason I say that, because remember when they did the Longhorn Network, it was like, we're Texas. We're the Longhorn Network. And then they realized, yeah, good luck with that. You know, and they're like, we don't need anybody. We have our own network. And they have realized that that has been a huge failure, right? I mean, it's comparably so to the bigger picture, right? They wanted to be off on their own, and they thought that, and nobody could get the Longhorn Network. Nobody, so unless you were just a diehard Longhorns fan, a Texas fan, who else was watching that? Who else had any availability to go see it, or even care to go see it? But if it was on, you know, a Big 12 network, that would be a different thing. But they wanted to be their own thing, and so the reason I'm asking is, okay, that's great that they've got that, but how many people are seeing that? How many eyeballs are really on it?
1.459 million. At the end of 2019.
Pay for that?
Yes.
Okay. Well, that's...
And WWE reported historic $960.4 million in revenue for their entire company. So that was in 2019. This is a report. But the streaming numbers were considered to be down by 6.6% from 2019 to 2018.
I wonder how many. So I'd love to know what's the subscriptions to the Longhorn Network.
I think that's a good comparison. But here's the difference, though. WWE Network is streaming only. It's not on any cable or satellite systems, whereas the Longhorn Network is.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I have the Longhorn Network on DirecTV. So that,
right, that has changed, though. It wasn't always like that.
Are you saying it was streaming only? I thought it was always on.
Well, television. I think it was not. It was hardly available. Like, nobody had it. Now you have it.
Right now, that,
you know what
that
I mean. Now it's
true.
Part of a package, where before it was not. Like, you had to really search high and low to try to find that, right, to get it, or pay extra. Where I think now it's become a little bit more readily available to cable packages.
Because they were losing money on it. I do know that. I remember mm-hmm. reading a report that they were bleeding money for a while.
Yep.
But as for the number of subscriptions, that's something that I'm trying to find for you. But it's a good comparison, even though one is streaming. But Vince was ahead of the curve on the streaming network thing. I mean, that was when WWE Network launched. I was at WrestleMania 30 in New Orleans, which was the first big event that was on the network. It had just launched, and they just hit WrestleMania 36. So that was a little over 6 years ago when they launched it. I mean, he was kind of ahead of the curve of all of that. And then you had ESPN Plus come along, and that started. Obviously, Netflix, we know what it has become. With streaming services, so now it's the norm. But they were early on in that when Vince launched it. And originally WWE Network was supposed to be a television channel. It was supposed to be on cable and satellite services, and he ended up doing his own thing with streaming.
Speaking of Netflix, I'm midway through second season of Ozark. I do want to pass this along. NHL and NHLPA plan to speak a little bit later today, and some of the topics they'll be talking about is the self-quarantine period for teams/players. Obviously, it's going to get extended past the middle of this month, which is, I think, it's supposed to be a Wednesday. So we know that's going to be extended. But we can talk about what else they will talk about to wrap up Monday's edition of Darren, Donick, and Chase. But first, Willie, you've got a word about Lee Company.
All right, let me tell you about Lee Company, 615-567-1000. As you guys know, the temperature has been fluctuating a lot over the last week or so. Some days where you need the air conditioning on. Today and last night and tonight, for sure, you're going to need that heat cranking again, or else you're going to have to break out the blankets big time. But that's why it's always important to make sure that you know your heating and cooling units are running efficiently. And that's part of their home maintenance plan that Lee Company really recommends. I recommend it as well. We've used it here in our house for a number of years now, and that is the system that gives you the annual checkups of your heating and cooling units. They'll call you to make the appointment, plus your plumbing and electrical service as well. They'll make the proper recommendations, and when those repairs need to be made and you're ready to do it, you'll pay. You'll get a discounted rate for it. So that is where you're going to save money going forward over the long haul. Lee Company, a lot of great services for you, including their general maintenance as well, and even home renovation. LeeCompany.com is the website you can go check out. But remember to give them a call at 615-567-1000, proud sponsor of the Nashville Predators.
Nate on Twitter has asked us if we've watched Episode 8, Tiger King, on Netflix. I have not.
I have not yet either, but I did see the preview for it last night.
When did it come out?
I think it came out over the weekend.
Okay.
Sometime over the weekend. I'm going to. It's on my list.
Yeah, that'll happen this week for sure, but I have not. I was in Ozark mode. Been rifling through Ozark. I tell you what, I don't know how. I mean, I've still got, there's 10 episodes in season 3 and half of season 2. I don't know how there's a cast left. I mean, that's the amazing thing to me is, how are we going to get I got 15 more episodes to conquer, or 14, and I'm just wondering, is there going to be a cast left? I mean, people leave the show pretty quickly.
So, okay, let me ask you this.
There's
going to
be some people come and go.
Because I'm almost done with the show that I have been binge watching. Ozark is what I'm going to move to next, since it's the hot thing and you guys have been talking about it. But is, you know how there are some shows that are so heavy that you get through maybe two or three episodes in one sitting and you got to take a break? Is this one of those?
No. I have just honestly, this has been my, this is my opinion and my approach. I want to say, because, we know that, it's kind of like talking about April 15th. Like, we know we're not coming out of this anytime soon. And I'm just trying to preserve. I mean, I could sit here. I could have probably tackled way more this way. It's something to look forward to. Like, it sounds silly, right? But it gives you something to look forward to at night. And
sure.
Fridays and Saturday nights, we watch two episodes. And then usually, we didn't watch anything last night, but usually we watch one episode a night during the week. And then Friday and Saturday, we watch two episodes. It just gives us, rather than just rifle through it, in two or three days, and then what?
Right.
So we're trying to preserve this. We're trying to, keeps the intrigue. Like, you look forward to it. So that's my answer. No, it's not something it's a lot to consume at times, but I think it's fascinating. I cannot wait every time for the next episode. I'm all in.
Cuz I'm one of those that when I really get into something, I'm just going to watch it. I'm not going to stop. And right now, we can do that cuz you're not waiting to watch sports. Now next week, The Last Dance, which is, the Bulls documentary, they've moved that up. That's going to come out. That is going to get my attention. I'm definitely going to be watching that because, I was a kid and was a huge fan of the Bulls growing up, and so I'm very interested in that. But, I was wondering, because there have been shows I've watched in the past that I've started to try and binge watch and then I can't sleep because it's just too heavy. So I was curious on that.
I don't know, Willie, how you
I think I might have to stop what I'm doing. Well, I think I might have to stop what I'm doing to watch episode 8, though. You can't not watch that,
Oh, you're
right?
Talking about for sure. Tiger King? Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I will. I'll get it this week.
I mean, that's big news. Big news, Tiger King 8 is coming out. I mean, it's kind of died down, the buzz on social media.
Well, it's because everybody's seen it.
I wonder,
well, TMZ's doing that special
right,
tonight.
Everybody's seen it. Exactly. So now I wonder, will this episode create buzz? Or will this be kind of anticlimactic, just trying to force to try to give you something else where they didn't really have – maybe there was a reason they originally didn't put 8 in. That's what I'm curious about.
Well, I think episode – from what I saw from the preview, episode 8 is just more or less an interview with some of the cast, like a follow-up. I don't think it's necessarily –
Oh, it's not the next chapter in the
they're
plot.
They're calling it the 8th episode, but I think it's more or less like an after-the-show type deal, kind of like after The Bachelor or after Survivor or something like that, that you catch up with everybody of, okay, you've heard the reaction, now it's out, so what do you think? Has something changed? And then TMZ is doing like an investigative report on Fox on things that they have uncovered since they're calling it what all went down or something like that. So I'm just, yeah, you know, this is clearly, if this happens in normal times, I don't know if anybody really cares as much. This is clearly just so we have nothing to do, so we're going to milk as much of it as we can.
Well, Ozark's been out for years, right?
Yeah, but I mean, I'm talking about Tiger King. I mean,
Ozark
is different. Ozark is a television
Ozark
show.
Ozark was going to take over some people no matter what. I mean, that was going to be a high watch show. I do wonder how many more subscribers do you think
way more.
Netflix
I mean, cause put
and
me
people
in that
have
category.
Just in general, right?
Put me in that category. I mean, if we're still having our
you were never subscribed to Netflix?
Oh, no. Okay. That's a good point. Yeah, I'm sure they're up. They're way up on their subscriptions. But I don't know. Well, I do know. I wouldn't. If we were in normal times over the last 3-4 weeks, I wouldn't be on board with I wouldn't be watching Ozark. Like I said, it's been out for a couple of years. It's not like I haven't heard of it, but I wouldn't have been watching it, and I'd be very sad. I love it. I absolutely love it. I think it's fascinating. It's fantastic. It's one of the better ones I think I've ever seen, personally. It is way up there for me. In fact, I thought kind of episodes 4 and 5, I think it was 4 and 5 in season 2, were probably the slowest ones for me. I think it was Saturday night we were watching when I told my wife, I was like, I think these may be the two slowest of everything we've watched so far. And that's hard to say because I haven't considered it slow at all. I have found it to be action-packed constantly. But anyway, I'll watch 8 for Tiger King, but I've got to be honest. I've moved on. It's like, whatever.
I'll check it out.
Yeah, I think I'm with you on that. I'd probably be more interested in, is that tonight at 8 o'clock our time?
Yep.
And what channel is it on?
Fox.
It's on Fox. Yeah, I'll watch that. I'll watch that for sure.
So will I. I think you'll get more out of that, personally. I mean, I could be wrong, but I just think more is going to come from that.
Go vote. Got 7 more hours to vote on the right side of our bracket. Eddie George versus Mookie Betts, Pecorine versus Philip Forsberg. We will be down to the final 4 tomorrow on the program. We'll be voting for the final 4 of our Nashville sports bracket, the best Nashville athletes of the last 30 years. We will wrap things up on Wednesday's show, well, all day Wednesday, to crown our champ. That'll do it for our show today. You have a great rest of your Monday. Continue to be safe. And we want you back with us tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. We'll see you then. You don't have to go home, but you
can't stay here. Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumb has been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better with new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect. The fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Mom, can you tell me a story?
Sure. Once upon a time, a mom needed a new car.
Was she brave?
She was tired, mostly. But she went to Carvana.com and found a great car at a great price. No secret treasure map required.
Did she have to fight a dragon?
Nope. She bought it 100% online. From her bed, actually.
Was it scary?
Honey, it was as unscary as car buying could be.
Did the car have a sunroof?
It did, actually.
Okay, good story.
Car buying you'll want to tell stories about. Buy your car today on
Carvana.
Delivery fees may apply.